Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and win back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. As always, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping for dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot means it's a great deal. A yellow dot means it's a good deal. A red dot means it's kind of crummy. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? The promo code is ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Everyone, the prodigal son has returned. Kevin Held is joining us for the big draft extravaganza. Kevin?
He's watched lots of tape. He's been watching tape. All these shows that he hasn't attended, he's been busy watching tape instead of doing the show. So he is prepared.
He's been at pro days. He's been at private workouts.
He's been working the phone lines with the coaches and scouts.
Yeah. So, Kevin, how's life? Give us a quick life update.
Let's get a love life update in particular.
Started going well. Was dating one woman for a few months in the winter.
That's done too.
Yeah. that ended in February. Nice, you know, very nice lady. I just wasn't like feeling it long term. So I thought, well, let me get out now at the 3 month mark instead of, you know, going on further.
I think we.
And then, and I've gone on a few.
We've peaked. Shut it down. Curtain.
I've gone on a few single dates, a few solo dates with some ladies. Just seeing how this works out. And, you know, hopefully there's a long-term relationship looming.
That's wonderful. Andrew, you murdered the Easter Bunny for your children this weekend, and you announced it on Twitter.
No, just my son. My daughter's still. Just your son? Yeah.
So what? So you told your son not to say anything to your daughter?
No, like... Well, first of all, I didn't want to put a bunch of eggs in the yard. I don't know. I get nervous about animals and stuff, you know. So I figured I'd do it in the morning, but I kind of got up late because I had too much to drink the night before. So, you know, I'm like hungover and I'm putting eggs in the yard, and my wife's trying to distract my son.
My wife.
And he sees me. And so... He asked my wife immediately. He says,
"My wife."
Yeah. He says, "Wait, Dad's putting eggs in the yard. Does this mean that Easter Bunny isn't real?" And my wife just like breaks down. She doesn't know
my
what to
wife.
Say. She's like,
"If you believe it."
Wow. She's like,
"First time you've used that, and it's been appropriate."
I know, but she panicked and she didn't know what to say, so she just said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not real." And I go back in there, I'm like, "What are you doing? Like, you should have just told him I was supplementing. Like, I don't know, like, think of something, like, figure it out. Like, God, like, yeah." But anyway, so he was kind of like crushed initially, but then he's like, at least I still get the candy. It's all good. And then we kind of sold it to him like.
But she panicked and she didn't know what to say. So she just said.
Sorry. Am I still, can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear okay. you now.
Sorry. So anyway, the bottom line is he knows and he's disappointed, but you know, he turns nine next month. He turns nine next month, so it was a good run.
Well, so, but my question was, is, I mean, obviously your son's a pretty intelligent kid, I'm sure. So, you know, he hasn't made the jump between the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, and he hasn't questioned, you know, he didn't say, well, wait a minute, if the Easter Bunny is real, what else isn't real?
Yeah, so good question. I was worried about that, but so far that has not been brought up.
And how old is he?
Nine.
He'll be nine next month.
A bad time.
So the like, thing is,
like,
I love
like about- like you want to stretch like you want to stretch that out. You want to stretch that out until he's at least 12 before everything.
Get out of here! Nobody is going to be 12 and still believing in the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. That's too old. It's like you're in high school.
No, you're not in fucking high school at 12.
You're like in seventh grade.
Eighth grade, yeah.
You're not in eighth grade, Dan. You're in sixth grade.
I don't think so.
That's old, man. I don't know.
Brother, I graduated eighth grade in 1994 and I was 14. Actually, I wasn't 14. I was 13.
So 12, seventh grade.
I learned when there was no Santa when I was 8 and my parents had Santa write me a letter telling me why I couldn't get a drum set, but they put it on my dad's stationery.
Rookie mistake.
Wow. I was like, it's on dad's stationery.
Yeah, this is why
drum set.
This is why Elf on the Shelf writes everything in all caps left-handed.
So I love the fact half of the people listen to the podcast love that we just ramble on our life and give an inside look to all our inner workings day to day that's not Saints related. The other people are like, get to the fucking Saints news. Well, there's no real Saints.
Exactly. So that's why I can interject here. What you guys need to do is take an architecture class and learn how to do that architecture block printing. And that way it's completely indistinguishable. And it's just like, why does Santa Claus write in all capital letters?
I can't even sign my own name, much less do that. My kid's going to know there's no Santa, like, probably next week.
My kid.
So.
just by the way, how it's done in the Cariello household, I don't mean to blow your mind or anything, but, you know, you can just type up a letter and print it out. Fucking idiots. I can't believe you people are handwriting stuff. You're all amateurs.
What is this, the 1880s? Kid? Jesus. Get a printing press.
Yeah, Dave probably has a typewriter specifically for this.
No, but what I'm saying is I type out and print out the stuff, the communications from the fictitious characters that we're all pretending exist. I don't handwrite something and potentially give myself away.
That's why you own your own business, Dave. We work for the man still. So, you know, it's draft week, and there's hot takes flowing on the internet, the Twitters
hot
everywhere.
Sizzling. Hot takes,
opinions everywhere. So we'll get to the draft and we'll get to the worst Sean Payton decision bracket. We have the first round to compete. We'll get to that in a little later. But it's draft week and the Saints have no picks. But we have an expansive budget here. Now, so we did draft profiles, and we've been giving them to you a couple at a time. But we have three left to give you. And we decided we sent Andrew around the country with the new budget that we have to get inside information. If you listened to the podcast this morning, that was a bonus one. But you should subscribe and be able to get the daily podcast. It's only $7 a month. Do it. So we have a couple more spotlights to give you. So me and Andrew try to figure out, like, what Saints players, what players in the draft would possibly be picked by the Saints or actual options. And Andrew was like, I've always wanted to go to Boston. So we sent him up to UMass, to Amherst, and he scouted Andy Isabella, and he got some inside information from some weird sources, and we got him on the Clips interview.
I talked to a lot of mass holes.
Yeah. So we got some
another Italian. That's makes me excited. What position does he play?
He plays wide receiver.
Oh, now we have an Italian on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Now.
So here we go.
Andy gets to use his hands.
Andy Isabella. Today's Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight is Andy Isabella of the University of Massachusetts. The small, fast, gritty, 5'8", 188-pound Isabella was literally born to be a New England Patriot. If the Saints want Isabella, General Manager Mickey Loomis may well have to enter the octagon and have a steel cage death match with Bill Belichick for the right to draft the UMass wide receiver. At Saints Happy Hour, in the famous words of Tony Montana,
I got ears, Jerome. I hear things.
And one NFC North scout hears Belichick is going to scoop Isabella up.
Hey, now listen to me. The only thing Bill Belichick loves more than mumbling at a press conference is getting massages with Patriots owner Bobby Kraft and drafting obscure midget white dudes, turning them into useful NFL players. He also loves dudes with chick last names. Don't forget they had Patricia coaching their defense. I'd bet my entire 401k fund Patriots draft Isabella, round three.
Andy Isabella's 4.3 speed combined with his 100 catch senior season give Isabella a The World Is Yours Saints Happy Hour Draft Day score of 7.7. This has been the Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight. See, I mean, you're not getting, Kevin, you're not getting that kind of draft analyst anywhere else.
No, I mean, not at all. I mean, your heart out, Mel Kiper.
I was really impressed with the, you know, the overlaying of sound, the phone call with the music, with this other speech in the background.
Did you like the fact that it was Scarface?
So many levels.
The Scarface theme.
Oh yeah.
He's never seen that movie. He has no idea what that was.
Yeah, that's actually true. It's really. I know. Say hello to my little friend. That's what I know.
The best part is, though, I was reading quotes from actual scouts today, Kevin, and I don't think the made-up ones that we did are outrageous enough. Like, the real scout quotes are fucking insane. But if the Saints did happen to draft a white slot wide receiver, Kevin, would he sell more jerseys than Jeremy Shockey or Scott Fujita?
I'd say he's definitely going to sell more than Scott Fujita. Might have to take at least half a season before you can determine if he's going to challenge the Shockmeister.
Yeah, he needs five NFL catches before that happens. But he's Italian, so he'll probably be good friends with Anzalone.
I gotta change the thing that you mean. I mean, the dream scenario is like Isabella catches 8 for 95 and 2 scores, and Anzalone has a fumble return for a touchdown. Then I can just put this on a loop for an hour, and we can just play this background music the whole show. That's my dream.
Actually, Well, if it's that, then you got to play the powered up Super Mario theme then.
Yeah, true. Well, hey, just so you guys know, Ninja Coordinator really likes our scouting. He says it's excellent scouting. And Crescendo says, wait, those scouting reports are parodies? No, they're not. They're very real.
They're very real.
I don't know what would make you think they're parodies. That is 100% legit.
Are you going to trust Mel Kiper or are you going to trust us? I mean, are you going to trust Attilia or are you going to trust us? We got two more to do. But
hey, listen, Dave doesn't have a lot of hair, but it's better than Mel Kiper's.
here's my question. And you know, the Saints don't pick until 62. So I was trying to figure out, and I was arguing with Andrew today, and I really think, Kevin, the odds of the Saints trading down and the odds of the Saints not trading up are about the same, which is about 3% they'll do either. Like,
what are you talking about?
What do you think? Is there any, like, I think a meteor hit.
They're not trading down. There is 0% chance they're trading down.
Do you think it's more likely a
meteor? You're telling me that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis are going to sit on their hands for an entire first round, get all the way to 62. First of all, they're not doing that. They're going to trade up. But they're going to sit and wait till 62 and then patiently get to 62 and then say, not really feeling it. Let's move down.
I mean, that
is this your first time here?
Kevin would love that.
No.
Is this your first time here? First time watching the Saints?
I'm just saying it's just as likely that they do nothing as they trade down, which is barely at all. But I mean, do you think a meteor hitting the Earth is more likely than the Saints trading down?
Yeah, listen, you have a better chance of of waking up any day, like any day for the next, I don't know, 18 months, and on any random day, not worrying about what the president is tweeting, than you do of seeing the Saints trade down on draft day. Like they're not trading down. I am the conductor of the trade down train, and it ain't happening. It's not. The train is decommissioned. The train is decommissioned. Thank you.
Man, I'm hot with the sound effects tonight.
You know what that just made me realize? We really haven't talked about Taysom Hill in a while.
We have
it happened. Listen, if Lou Payton managed to not, like, if somebody restrains them long enough to not trade up, then they're taking somebody at 62.
Here's my question. I don't think there's any doubt that they want to trade up. I think it's a possibility that it may not work out. But here's my question for you,
Dave. At which point they'll pick at 62? They're not trading down.
Here's my question, though, for you, Dave. How high can they go as far as a trade-up? How reckless and how many future assets would they be willing to give away? If I said to you the Saints will trade up and they will trade up, how high do you think they could get? Is it pick 20? Is it 25? Is it 32? How high do you think they could possibly go?
I think we talked about this a while ago. I think if we're talking about getting into the first round, they got to give up what? They're going to have to give up their first round next year.
The right? First and 56 got them. A first round pick in 2012 got them from 56 in 2011 27.
I don't see them trading up and to get into the first round. I see them trading up in the second round. I see them, you know, because obviously they're picking later in the second round. So they're going to have to go through the entire first round. And I think they're okay with that. But then, obviously, the next day, they're going to have to go through the entire second round until the second to last pick or whatever, or later in the round before they pick. So, I mean, as far as them trading up, I think what's more likely is they're going to trade up into, like, the 50th spot or the 40th spot or something like that. And to do that, they're going to have to give up, you know, I don't know, they're going to have to give up something equal next year, I would say, and then, you know, maybe a later round pick this year or something like that.
What, I mean, Andrew, if I said to you, here's $100, where do you think they're, how high do you think they're going to go?
Well, I think best case scenario is kind of like in the 24-25 zone. I mean, that's as high as they could get with the ammunition they have. And that would require saying goodbye.
That would be so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to give up the first for sure next year, and then probably 62, you know, and depending on, I don't think that'll be good enough to get up to 24. Like, they'd probably have to give up a third next year too. But, you know, then in the 27 zone, you know, I think that's where maybe just the 62 and the first would be in play. And so I think that, you know, between 27 and 32, that's where you have to be nervous. That's the zone where, you know, a first packaged with that second round pick, you know, could be in play for Loomis. You know, after that, you don't get the guy for 5 years. So the 33rd pick, you know, then it's a 4-year contract. So I think the risk kind of goes down a little bit.
And they
at 33. But then I think at 38, you know, the value starts to come back, and I think you start to get nervous again.
Kevin, they do a lot of business with New England. They've done a lot of trades with Mickey Loomis has done. He did Brandon Cooks. He did Cedric Ellis. He did David Thomas. He did almost traded Pierre Thomas. They swapped Jonathan Sullivan for a ham sandwich. So he's done a lot of business with Belichick.
The Saints are going to trade up. I mean, there's almost no way. They can't go 61 picks without doing anything.
So
would they potentially trade a player, an asset?
That's a good question.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, like, would they do something crazy? Like, I'm just saying this, you know, trade like Mike Thomas or something, because, you know, they realize, you know, they've got Kamara, they've got Thomas, they've got to pay both of these guys. Maybe they'd rather just trade while his value is high, somebody like that, and, you know, stockpile a bunch of, I mean, just something crazy like that.
Well,
which would be so far out of the norm for the Saints. I mean that would be, you talk about blindsides, you know, that's not even, you know, this is fantasy as far as we're concerned talking about this now, because something like that would never happen. The Saints would never do something like that.
I mean, they traded Graham out of nowhere, right, Kevin? So they have done it.
On draft day, though.
No. But, Kevin, what's your – since we're all in agreement that they're going to move up, and since you have obviously laid out your desire, Mr. Trade Down, you lead the locomotive on that, what is your doomsday scenario, assuming they trade up? How much assets would they give away where you would be like, oh, my God. God, they did what? Like, how many assets will crack? Will make you cringe, even though you're expecting them to trade up? What will make you cringe and not happy, and possibly throw something at your TV?
Right. If they do, I mean, if they obviously if they did the insane thing and traded somebody like Mike Thomas, yeah, like that would be insane. I that would be nuts. But if we're just talking like draft pieces. Yeah, I think if they moved high, like, into that early 20 range in the first round, and they gave up, you know, a number, you know, next year's number one, which I'm assuming they still have that. So if they gave up next year's number one and, like, a number three for next year, and then one of their, I don't know, sixes for this year or something, and then it's like they're only left with three picks from this year and like five for the following year, then yeah, I'd probably be a tad miffed.
I mean, the thing that I think is going to happen, which is going to be so annoying, you guys know this is coming. They're going to give up a third round pick next year to move up like five spots. They're going to go from 62 to 57. And it's just going to be so annoying because, like, really, yep. Really, that's, you that's gave up a third round pick to move up to get that guy. Like, he could have fallen to you at 62, maybe, you know, and like Sean Payne will go on the mic. He's like, be like, this is the guy. Like, we had a vision for the player, and this is the guy we wanted all along. And, you know, we just felt like we had to go get him because we heard that Green Bay was interested or whatever. And they were three picks ahead of us. And so it's just like that will be like it'll happen. It'll be like, great. Like, we're kind of happy they got the guy they wanted, but we'll just be so annoyed. Like, we gave up a third round pick next year just to move up five spots.
You could just...
for reference, the Colts are three picks ahead of the Saints.
I think the spots to watch are 56 because the New England has that pick from the Bears, and I just said that it blew a lot of business with New England. I think 32 is a spot, and I think any one of those Raider picks, first round picks that are later, I think the Raiders are just, they don't, one, they have a ton of picks and they're doing a total rebuild. Second of all, like, they're doing crazy shit. Like, they locked the scouts out of their building and stuff. Like, it's just Mike Mayock, John Gruden, and like 60, it's like 60 Hooters wings and like a case of beer, and they're just going to do the draft themselves. Like, they booted everyone out the room. So that could get weird. So that
well, I tell
all...
you what, the Raiders have pick 35.
Oh yeah,
so,
there you go.
I mean, if the Raiders really a lot of spots to trade, you know, you could move up that early in the second round.
Peyton and Gruden are boys, just saying.
I was just about to say that. Peyton and Gruden are buddies.
You know, it would be weird for them to trade up for offensive linemen, but Dave, is offensive lineman like a sneaky need for the Saints as far as like depth and what they wanted? You know, Pete's on the last year, his deal. Armstead is hurt all the time. So is offensive line sort of a sneaky need for the Saints?
If by sneaky you mean a very obvious need that they really, really need, yes, it
but
is.
Would they burn assets? You know, since we're all in agreement that they're going to move up, would they burn a lot of 2020 assets to move up to get an offensive lineman?
No, I feel like they only burn assets for sexy picks like Kamara's and, you know, whoever else. Yeah,
Thomas Morstead.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So speaking of offensive linemen, we sent Andrew to Norman, Oklahoma to profile Cody Ford, offensive lineman, from Oklahoma. So here's our report on Cody Ford. This week's Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight is Cody Ford of Oklahoma. The 6'3", 329-pound lineman has the potential to disappoint Saints fans at guard and tackle. He is nasty and overpowering with strong blocking and body odor. One Big 12 opposing coach was impressed with Ford's dedication to the revolutionary no-bath power pyramid training method.
Hey man, listen. People think the no-bathing pyramid thing during football season is gross or maybe bullshit analytics, but I'm telling you, Ford smelled so bad, two of our defensive tackles passed out playing against him, and they needed smelling salts just to wake up. One of those two guys said he smelled so bad it was like a dead bird covered in sewer water that had a pack of day cigarette habit.
Ford's aroma of success give him a Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight score of 8.3. This has been the Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight.
Wait a minute now, Kevin. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but all these different scouts that Andrew was able to get, they all sound alike.
Well, here's the thing. Because of the donations.
And also, wait. You know what else is weird? They also...
Hey,
don't
blame me. I'm not, you know, the Rooney Rule exists for a reason. It's not my fault. The NFL keeps hiring all these middle-aged white guys. They all sound the same.
But well, let me say this.
But also what I'm noticing is that they all also have the same penchant to really be able to make these really obscure, silly metaphors, you know, almost that Ralph makes all the time. I don't know. It's really weird.
Here's the thing.
The bird that hadn't taken a bath, that had a pack-a-day habit. It just sounds like something Ralph would say. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. With the donations from people, we have the technology to digitize all the scouts' voices and make them sound like Andrew. That's the technology.
It's really high tech. Yeah.
$7 a month. Do it. It's great.
I mean, listen, we're saving jobs here.
We are. We're saving jobs. And to know that we put all these potentially fake profiles together while I was home alone drinking, it's what else am I going to do on a Friday night? But I'm not saying they're fake, but if they were, that's when I would have done them.
You know what the worst thing that could possibly happen to this podcast would be? Is if Ralph all of a sudden got friends that he could like hang out with. Because then it would be all
true. It is true. If I actually would be able to do things on Friday or Saturday night and not just sit in front of my laptop looking at going down YouTube rabbit holes of Scarface sound clips and downloading the theme to Airwolf. Like if I could find better outlets and better hobbies, this podcast would completely fall apart.
It's a good thing that'll never happen for us.
It's right. When you have a kid, it's done. It's done. It's over with. So before we get to the rest of the Sean Payton worst decision bracket, I want to go around the horn and not do necessarily a mock draft. But and you don't have to give me a name because no one gives a shit about the draft when the Saints have no picks. We're not reading Mike Dettillier's great draft book or Mel Kiper or whatever. So you don't have to give me a name. But give me a position that you're gonna be paying attention to, and I don't know what to call it, Kevin. Like the Mickey Loomis trade warning flag or whatever is gonna like go on alert. Like if you see what positions are you gonna be looking at and saying, oh, bunch of those are available, or this is available at 25. Oh shit, it's really gonna happen. The Saints are gonna move. What sort of storylines are you gonna be looking for that's gonna make you start to really perk up and expect the trade up that we know is coming to happen?
I think if there's a run on wide receivers. Like, I know the Saints, you know, brought on or, like, kept Dez Bryant, and they brought in Brandon Marshall and stuff. But like, with the paranoia, like, you know, if there's paranoia about, oh, my God, could Mike Thomas, like, would the Saints consider parting ways with Mike Thomas because of the impending big contract, maybe they get a wide out with the first pick that they get.
Dave?
Same question? I guess sort of similar answer to Kevin, you know, if there's a whole bunch of wide receivers that are left on the board late first round, early second round, you know, a bunch of guys that most people thought were going to get drafted earlier, but they wound up dropping. That's when I can see, you know, the Saints definitely making a move. So that would be a storyline.
Andrew, I want you to answer because I think you're going to go in a different direction.
I'm not sure which direction you think I'm going to go in. You mean in terms of position?
When are you going to be like, okay, the trade is about to happen when you're watching the draft?
Oh, yeah. No, well, I think it's not so – you know, if you look at last year where they moved up to get Davenport, I felt like Davenport was really the last guy left that was any good at that position, a defensive end. And they were desperate to get a defensive end. And so they were like, all right, well, we got to go up and get him because there's no one else that we're going to be happy with. So we need to go ahead and make this move now because he's like the last guy we like. So they went ahead and they did that. So I think it's not going to be one of these positions that's deep in the draft. Defensive end and tight end, those are potentially needs. But I think this draft is pretty deep at those positions. And so the Saints won't feel like they have to panic draft a guy. But receiver, for example, maybe a little not quite as deep. And so I think the Saints could maybe panic and say, okay, like the top two or three guys are gone. And really, we'd only be happy with the fourth or fifth best guy. And after that, like there's a huge drop off. So that's when, you know, one of those positions, I think, they would maybe panic trade and move up. But, you know, there's kind of two guys. I mean, I think it's unrealistic that Irv Smith and the defensive end from Louisiana Tech, Jalen Ferguson, I think it's unlikely those two drop to 62, but I kind of have my eye on those guys. And the guy we did the draft profile on, Andy Isabella, I think Mel Kiper, it's either him or McShay, one of them had this Isabella going to the Saints at 62. So, you know, those are three that I could see happening. You know, Paris Campbell, I mean, he's another guy, Ohio State receiver. They love their Ohio State
Saints
guys.
Feeder team.
It's just so hard, man, though. Like, when you're picking at 62, it's just you have no idea who's going to be gone. You have no idea what's going to be available. So you really just have to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Saints have kind of kept it close to the vest this year, and we really don't know who they like.
Yeah, my biggest fear is I just don't want them trading up for a tight end. I feel like rookie tight ends never amount to anything. Even like Gronkowski, he only caught 40 balls, and Jimmy Graham only caught 30. So like if the Saints give up a 2020 first round pick to go get one of those tight ends from Iowa or whoever, or even Irv Smith Jr., like they're not going to be that good. Like history tells you that. And they need a dude who's going to be, if you're going to burn the 2020 number one, I want a guy who you're going to plug and play and he's going to be good. Like, In the history of tight ends, they just like maybe he's a unicorn, but if Rob Gronkowski wasn't a rookie unicorn, I doubt anybody in this draft's going to be. So tight end would really make me mad. I'm not saying that I would throw something and break my TV, but I might start drinking even more heavily than I plan to. So that concludes our draft.
Eric Corley in our chat says that Mitchell Hardman is a good one. He's a good prospect that he likes. He must be related to Phil McRavis.
So, we got to get to. We have one more draft profile, and then we'll do the Sean Payton bracket. And Andrew mentioned him, Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech. Today's Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight is Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech. Saints fans' expectations for the 6'4", 271-pound defensive end Ferguson will be so high he could go to the Hall of Fame and still be disparaged as a failure. Ferguson can convert speed to power and once ate 37 Krispy Kreme donuts in a single sitting. One AFC scout gushed to Saints Happy Hour like a schoolgirl when talking about Ferguson.
I absolutely love this guy. He's almost too good to be true. He's like football Viagra. I was talking to Andy Reid, and he's as excited about this guy as he was about Taco Charlton. Granted, he did think that was the new Mexican restaurant about to open.
Jalen Ferguson's YouTube highlights will make you need a cigarette and a nap. Ferguson gets the first ever perfect Saints Happy Hour draft day score of 11.6. This has been the Saints Happy Hour Draft Day Spotlight. I mean, perfect score. If the Saints get him at 62, Andrew, we might have to have a parade. So
the perfect score is
11.6. That's right, Dave. The draft
like
day
rating.
Score is
like
it's a complicated mathematical formula that involves fake scouting reports, alcohol, cocaine, and the Airwolf theme, and 11.6 is the perfect score. I don't know what to tell you. It's science, man. So Sean Payton's worst move bracket. We got the bottom half of the bracket to do. The number two seed, Jarris Bird, versus Tyler Mayhoff.
Taylor Mayhoff.
Not even close. Not even close.
Taylor Mayhoff.
Versus not going to work here anymore.
I actually have a Jarris Bird 30-second profile in his seed. Jarris Bird is the Sean Payton's worst decision tournament bracket, number 2 overall seed. The Saints gave Bird the richest safety contract in NFL history, thinking he was the final piece to a Super Bowl. Bird was the final piece for the Saints' Super Bowl dreams, like that exercise bike you bought late at night was the key for you to get in better shape. The only difference is you could hang dirty clothes on that $800 bike. Bird was completely useless, except for that one time when he collided with Keenan Lewis so the Titans could score a touchdown. I had to watch that play like 4 times because I was drunk while I was doing these. I had to figure out who he collided with. Just so you know.
Bird Legs Lewis. I feel like you can't bring up Taylor Mayhoff without bringing up the joke about how he missed so many kicks in London that the Saints basically just left him there. They're like, nope, and not allowed back on the plane.
I made that joke, and he tweeted at me.
He did?
Yeah, he did. I made that joke when I did a column going through every one of Sean Payton's kickers, and I made that joke, and he tweeted at me.
What did he say?
I was sad, though, because he didn't have as many followers as me. I figured he'd be bigger time. I'd get the social exposure. I did not. He's a kicking assistant coach for Wisconsin. Oh, no.
Ralph.
Oh, yeah, you guys lost them too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was just saying that Tyler Mayhoff, he tweeted at me, and he didn't like my joke.
Oh, so he was mad.
Not really. I mean, he was a little sensitive, but he got over it. I mean, what do you do, dude? You miss like 100 kicks. You're lucky they didn't drop you out the plane without a parachute. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
I'm going Jarris Bird against all odds.
Jarris, I'm going Bird too. Kevin, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going Bird because, you know, yeah, like
he went to Jarris. Didn't work,
like work out, but he was a 6th-round pick, and cutting him or getting rid of him allowed the Saints to get Garrett Hartley.
True.
That's true.
So I'm going to go Birdman.
Dave.
It could only be Jarris.
The number 15 seed, Olin Krutz, versus number 18, Dan Morgan. Kevin, who you got?
Olin Krutz, period. I almost just blurted out Olin Krutz before we even said Dan Morgan.
Krutz is interesting. I vote him, too. He told a story on the Dan Lebatard show that he got into a brawl in the Saints locker room, and Drew Brees tried to pull him off whoever he was beating up, and he almost punched Drew Brees square in the face. I think if he'd have done that and injured Drew Brees, I think he'd have ended up dead. I think he'd be at the bottom of Lake Pontchartrain. So I'm gonna go Olin as well. Andrew, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, Morgan's just funny because he tried to come back to training camp with the Saints like 2 or 3 times, and each time he would do a training camp for like 2 days and then retire again. So kind of the running joke. But, I mean, Olin Krutz, man, I think – I don't know that it's like a – well, it was a terrible decision, but like I just thought, you know, when a team elects you as captain – and your play is so terrible that you get benched and you just decide as a team captain that you're just, instead of like imparting your wisdom and helping teammates by sticking around and helping in any way that you can, even though you're not good enough anymore, for you to just abandon the team, retire and leave in the early in the season. I just think is the ultimate bitch move. And I like, I can't think of Olin Krutz without getting angry.
He gave Brian De La Puente a job.
True.
So are we all in agreement? Olin Krutz goes through?
I haven't voted yet.
You go vote. You vote.
It could only be Olin.
No. All right,
actually,
Kevin.
Wait. No, actually, I'm kidding. I'm actually voting Dan Morgan.
What?
Well, that's 3-1.
I mean,
but he was concussion in human form. Am I the only one that's...
You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or no, vice versa. I think I was blogging at the time, or both times, and I think I just copy and pasted the original article that I wrote when Dan Morgan retired for the second time.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. I just updated the timestamp like a year.
Well, SB Nation, you get what you pay for.
Ooh,
timely,
solid dig.
So, Kevin, you get to start this one off. Number 7 seed Stephon Anthony versus the number 26 seed Adrian Peterson.
I'm so glad Kevin's here for this.
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing?
It's a tough call, Kevin. Hang on. Because Stephon Anthony was the number one pick.
Ugh. Wait a minute. Why?
Kevin, are you there?
Kevin?
I don't know. Yeah, he was just he's showing video. We can see video of Kevin right now.
I think he was so disgusted that you uttered the words Adrian
Peterson that maybe he'll come back.
We were just looking at his pants. I'm glad you I'm glad you were wearing pants, Kevin.
Yes, thank God.
Me too. Adrian Peterson. If any of you sons of bitches even think about voting anybody else, I'm booking. I'll book you a flight so we can meet in Temecula.
Andrew, who you got?
I'm taking Stephon Anthony.
I mean, he's a number one pick, man. Adrian Peterson.
I hope that 56-year-old you fucking playing tennis smokes you.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
I feel like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like Adrian
what
Peterson.
What the hell
was,
did that soundbite have to do with anything?
Oh, no.
Nothing. I just like to play it.
The thing with Adrian Peterson is like, he was a terrible pickup and was a bad idea, and we kind of all knew this would be a bad idea. But, like, the thing is, he was kicked to the curb because Kamara was freaking awesome out of the gate. Like, he was so amazing. There was no place for Adrian Peterson, and they flipped him for a pick. So, it's like, I mean, it was a low investment. They got another rookie that was way better, and they got a pick for him. So, like, I don't really feel like it was that big of a disaster. Stephon, as a first-round pick, was a disaster.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. Them picking Stephon Anthony didn't drive me to stop watching football.
That is true.
Like, I literally did not watch any fucking – like, honestly, them bringing Adrian Peterson on, that spurred me to, like, stop watching, stop caring – pay as little attention as possible. And even when they did finally get rid of him, I still was like, there were still a couple of games that I didn't watch all of.
What do you think?
That move that really damaged my ability to enjoy football for a long time.
But it didn't redeem them a little bit that they got a draft pick for him, your favorite thing?
I mean, I was a little happy that they got something out of his carcass, but you know what? the guy hit his kids in the testicles with a fucking stick. So, you know,
what do you think was what do you think Adrian Peterson's longest run with the Saints was?
8 yards.
I would say when Sean Payton said, "Get the fuck out of my face" on the sideline.
Close. It was 11.
I guess it's 4. No.
He had 27 carries for 81 yards. I was really thinking it was going to be nowhere near an 11-yard run. I don't remember him doing anything except getting stuffed repeatedly.
Hamilton had better numbers.
I'm going to go Adrian Peterson just because we got to keep him going through. I know Stephon Anthony was a bust, but I personally blame Stephon Anthony being terrible on Joe Vitt being a terrible coach. So that's my opinion. So I'm going Adrian Peterson. Dave, who you got?
Stephon Anthony.
No, it's 2-2. Send it out to the peoples, Andrew.
Well, no. Let's do it in the chat. Chat. Next person to respond, Stephon Anthony or Adrian Peterson breaks the tie.
That's terrible.
Kevin might have to quit our podcast now.
And just so you know, if you type Anthony, Kevin will hate you forever.
So
that might inspire more.
Kevin, if Adrian Peterson wins, he goes on. You don't want Adrian Peterson to win anything, do you?
Seriously, someone in the chat room, type a name. Oh, Stephon Anthony. Thank you, Andrew West. It's done.
You're dead to me. I will not watch any of your football games, Anthony. Or Andrew, whatever the hell.
All right, so the next one, Andrew, I'll give you the – you can kick this one off because you thought of this bracket, this matchup. Number 10, Delvin Bro's leg versus the 23 seed, Paul Kruger. Who you got?
All right, well, I'll go with the second one first. Paul Kruger was so annoying because the Saints tried to get him in free agency – and they failed because – was it the Browns or the Ravens? Who paid him a ton of money?
Browns.
The Browns paid him a ton of money to get him from the Ravens, and Sean Payton was really butthurt because he wanted him so bad. But then he was terrible for them. So then Payton was like, oh, we got to go get him. We got to go get him. This is my guy. And lo and behold, no surprise, he was terrible. So,
they didn't have any cap space, so they had to do the Mickey Loomis special avoidable years inside avoidable years.
Yeah, so I think they're still paying him, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, this is no match for the Delvin Bro leg situation where Bro, first of all, breaks his leg, misses half the season, comes back, is terrible, breaks it again, and you know, he's in training camp, and he's like, Coach, I can't run. Like, something's wrong with my leg. And he's like, nope. Doctors looked at it. They say you're fine. Get out there. And so he tries to go out there and practice, and he's like, I can't do it. I can't run. And so the medical staff is like, he looks fine on his x-ray. So he gets a second opinion. His leg is broken, which causes the Saints to fire their entire Ochsner staff, medical staff. And
by the way, is the team sponsor.
I mean, so they're forced to use their doctors. So, I mean, that situation was one of the strangest, most ridiculous things that happened in the whole Sean Payton era. I think this is a dark horse to maybe win it all. Did we lose Ralph again?
We might have lost Ralph again.
Oh, I muted myself.
Oh my God. We're
on brand.
You are the worst.
We are on brand tonight. So I was going to say,
you got to edit that shit out.
Kruger He annoyed me. His hair was so trash. It was like a knockoff White Snake 80s white trash long hair, not the flowing, beautiful Fabio Anzalone long hair. And Paul Kruger was just, when they got him, we were like, well, he can't be any worse. He's got to be better than what they have, and he wasn't. That's how shitty he was.
He was even worse, yeah.
He was even worse. So I'm going Delvin Bro's leg, and for the Saints to fire their medical staff, who was also a sponsor of the team, was just extraordinarily and funny as hell. And Dave validated something that you had been complaining about even before the misdiagnosis of Delvin Bro's leg, that the Saints medical staff was indeed shit.
That's true, and that's why I'm going to be voting for Delvin Bro's leg. Now, they've just fired some of the doctors, but Ochsner is still in charge of their medical staff and still involved with the team.
So is this a clean sweep?
Is this a clean sweep? Yeah. Kevin?
No, I'm going Paul Kruger.
Why? Why? He's still mad about Peterson. Okay.
I will neither confirm nor deny that allegation.
Here's Dave, you can kick this one off. Number 3 seed, Steve Spagnuolo versus the number 30 seed, Mike Ornstein Friendship.
Well, I don't know what was so bad about the Ornstein Friendship. I mean, Mike Ornstein got
involved. I don't know that he was.
Oh, I don't know that he's a convicted felon.
Okay. So Ornstein went to jail, but I mean, nothing really happened with Peyton. I mean, he just happens to know the guy. I think if I remember correctly from reading Peyton's book that Ornstein kind of helped Peyton organize a few things, you know, the week before the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the friendship, as far as Peyton is concerned, was valuable. I mean, I know Ornstein was a shady guy. I know.
Well, the NFL hates him, and some believe that he made Bountygate worse.
Wow.
Because he was an employee, he was outside the building, and he was accused of also throwing money down on the bounties.
Wow. I mean, whatever. I still think the Saints would have gotten in trouble for that regardless of him. I don't know. I don't really think Ornstein's that big of a deal as far as Peyton and the Saints are concerned. At the very least,
you have to admit it's sketchy.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, you know. Obviously.
Sean Payton traffics in sketchy. He does. He really does.
He runs with that
kind of...
I love
the guy, but he traffics in sketchiness.
Right. You know, I meant to, last week when we started this, I also meant to preface this entire tournament, at least for myself, but I think I speak for all of us, that, you know, we love Payton, and I don't think any of us would want our coach to be anybody else but Payton.
No, I agree. That needs to be stated because
he makes it fun, man. No other coach is doing this.
I mean, just to be clear, we felt like this was a good time to do it because the team's been successful, and we can all kind of laugh like, oh, look at our lovable coach. That's, you know, yeah. We wouldn't do this after a losing season because
we wouldn't have like the middle of the 7-9 sadness loop.
It's both like tongue in cheek, but also like these things all actually happen. So it's.
I would like to hope that he listens to us on his way to work every day.
Yeah.
And he's really laughing about this whole bracket.
I mean.
So anyway, back to the brackets. And Spagnuolo, I mean, you know, it sucks Spagnuolo because.
It sucks.
Yeah, Ornstein may have been convicted of something, but Spagnuolo has been convicted of worst defensive coordinator in NFL history.
I mean, it sucks because he was here during Peyton's suspension. I feel like it's hard to judge, but you know, the Saints were the worst defense in the history of the league that year.
The players admitted that they didn't listen to him. They were like, they just tuned him out. And they were like, we're not doing this.
I'm going, he's the higher seed in this bracket for a reason. He's the 5th seed. Then Ornstein's only the 30th. So I'm going with Spagnuolo.
I'm going Spagnuolo too, and the reason for that is, even though Ornstein is bad, the jokes. But here's the thing: when they hired Spagnuolo, it felt at the time like people were genuinely excited. I was like, man, he coached the defense for the Giants that won a Super Bowl. He's a good defensive coordinator. He can get it better. He can improve it. When they hired Greg Williams and brought him in, he improved things. Spagnuolo will be good. And he was fucking terrible. Kevin, who you got?
Spagnuolo.
Clean sweep.
Clean sweep, baby. All right. Andrew, you can start this one out because you didn't know one of these. I was stunned of your depth of Saints knowledge. You weren't familiar with one of the two in this matchup. Number 14, Charles Brown versus number 19, Xbox Kid movie script.
Yeah, so I didn't know what the Xbox Kid movie script was. I had no idea. Kevin dropped this in a text. He was like, oh, this should be in the tournament. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? What is Xbox movie kid movie? So I didn't know, and I read about it, and yeah, it's like you said, I consume Saints news every day, and somehow I totally missed this and
logged every day and missed that. That's amazing. Yeah. The way you were having desperate for content,
I mean,
every single
mind day. Mind blowing. I mean, yeah.
Last week he corrects me when I say CJ Spiller caught a screen pass, and he corrects me to tell me it's a fucking wheel route. But he doesn't fucking remember Xbox Kid. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I missed that, but yeah. So anyway, if you're not familiar, you should read up on it. But I guess Sean Payton, after the Saints won the Super Bowl, I think he created a movie script that he was like shopping to his Hollywood buddies, and it was a movie about a kid in New Orleans after Katrina who was able to affect the outcome of NFL games with his Xbox, like playing his Xbox. And so he has the Saints win the Super Bowl on his Xbox, and it makes New Orleans better.
If you're casting the Xbox movie, who are you casting? Like, who's the kid?
I mean, his dad is obviously Will Smith, the actor.
Frankie Muniz? Is Frankie Muniz
He's
still
too
available?
Old, man. You got...
No. You can't. You can't do Frankie Muniz now because he has like a legit, memory problem where like he got concussed so much that he has trouble remembering things.
Why did Frankie Muniz get concussed so much?
I think he was in like a racing accident or something.
Oh yeah, he's in the cars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He said in interviews he doesn't remember Malcolm in the Middle.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's bad. And if you're gonna hire somebody for the Xbox Kid, it's got to be the toothless kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait. You dismissed that way too fast. You not seen Stranger Things?
I haven't actually.
We are terrible.
I like
it. It's only one of the seminal television shows on Netflix.
So you're saying I should go for it?
Yes.
All right.
especially as an 80s kid.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah. All right, so this says the movie currently titled The Xbox Kid is about a boy from a poor family in New Orleans who starts controlling the outcome of NFL games through a refurbished Xbox given to him by his grandfather following a devastating hurricane. Peyton said he envisions the movie as both a sports film and an inspirational story about the city's recovery.
I can't believe this movie didn't get made.
So I thought it was the dumbest idea ever, but then I told my wife about it because I was like, and she was like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
My wife.
That movie could be awesome. So I'm stunned that
Will Ferrell didn't make this movie. Like, it's good. They did a Damian Wayans movie where he was the Saints quarterback, and it was like a spinoff of Angels in the Outfield, and it was a Disney movie of the week. If that can get made, Xbox Kid can get made, is all I'm saying.
Well, it never worked out, so clearly his Hollywood buddy spit on him. But so he's going up against Charles Brown. A funny story about Charles Brown is years ago, Chris Long, who is now in the Eagles, lived in my building. He still lives in Charlottesville in the off season, and he booked his wedding band through me, so I know him, a nice guy. But He every time he sees me, he knows I'm a big Saints fan, and so the first thing he always asks me every time he sees me is, "Hey, how are the Saints looking this year?" It's like his icebreaker at this point. It's so robotic now. But he went up against Charles Brown in a game and sacked Breeze like four times. And I remember the following season, Ralph, remember like the Saints were trying to figure out who their left tackle was? And at the time it was either Teron Armstead, this kid from, you know, Pine Bluff or whatever, that was a third round pick, but a nobody, that was like a year long project, or Jason Brown, the draft pick, or
complete bust
from the Rams. Yeah, complete bust, but he had Jason Smith, and he had played with Chris Long, or Charles Brown. And so he asked me, he says, "So, hey, how are the Saints looking this year?" And I said, "Well, I don't know who our left tackle is going to be. Right now, the options are your old teammate, Jason Smith, this rookie third round pick we got who's from a small school, or Charles Brown." And he looks at me and he just shakes his head and he just goes, "Oof." He's like, "Charles Brown, you better hope it's not him." So that was Chris Long's take on Charles Brown. But I mean, he was terrible. He was a second round pick, a huge disappointment. But
drove,
you know,
Sean Payton to say, drove Sean Payton to say in a game at the end of the 2013 season, after he was literally a human turnstile, and they asked Sean Payton why he put Armstead in, he's like, "I had seen enough.
Enough was enough. Yeah. So this one's tough. I don't want to go first. This one's tough for me.
I'm going Xbox kid, man. It's a dark horse to win the whole thing. I know Charles Brown was bad, but I mean, Sean Payton, he could have been doing House Habitat for Humanity with Jimmy Carter or whatever. He's pounding out a movie script on a ThinkPad or whatever the hell. Xbox Kid movie script, that's got to move along. Kevin, who you got?
Oh, yeah, Xbox Kid movie script. Like, yeah, Charles Brown's a bad player, but it's like, man, like, you got to be something much worse to top the Xbox Kid.
Xbox Kid could still get made if ESPN ever decided to do original programming again, like when they did the Playmakers, if they started to make movies. I think the Xbox Kid could still get made. So, Andrew, who you got?
Dave. Well, let Dave go first.
Dave.
I'm going to go with Charles Brown because it's football related. Xbox Kid never actually got made. You know what? Peyton had nothing to do in 2012 when he was suspended. I mean, you can't blame the guy for that. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like Xbox
also,
Kid.
I've
Xbox
seen enough.
Kid was
That's
a done.
Great quote.
Yeah. That's Xbox an underrated Kid was a quote. Done dumb movie that like never actually happened. Whereas, like, I watched Charles Brown. It happened. I had to live through that. I'm picking Charles Brown, damn it.
Yeah, you got
it. We're tied. All right, so. Chat room, break the tie, Xbox Kid or Charles Brown. Next one. Looks like
ABL
Saint.
If I try to bribe people to vote how I want and offer them free koozies and whatnot, is that against the rules?
No, but Charles Brown wins. ABL Saint typed it first. And he beat ABL Saint beat Xbox Kid because Andrew Alvarez typed Xbox Kid like a second later.
Right,
it was very close.
This was a good one, and I think this involves one of Dave's highest traffic things when he was on Canal Street Chronicles, when he was running that fine site. Number six, Jason.
Oh, hold on. We got a good joke here in the chat. Andrew West says, "I think we can all thank Vicodin for Xbox Kit." Anyway, continue.
So number six, Jason David. Versus number 27, Al Woods. Dave, who you got?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll always have a fondness for Al Woods because after he was drafted, you know, he had like a whole social media team and they reached out and they were like ready to do,
he was,
you know,
so
exclusive.
Excited when the Saints picked him too. Like he did,
yeah,
because
he was from
phone,
LSU.
He had the video.
Yeah, and he let us post all that stuff on his behalf. He like created an account. And then he promptly got cut or didn't make the team or whatever. But he wound up playing
to be a half decent player.
Yeah,
at
for what, Pittsburgh?
Different places.
Yeah,
I think the Steelers. He was at for a little while.
Yeah, Tennessee.
But I mean, nope. Jason David is going to be. He's going to go far in this tournament. I don't see anybody. You know, it's going to take something tough to beat Jason David. You know, I'll save all the typical Jason David jokes for later in the bracket, assuming he makes it that far. But my vote is definitely going to be for Jason David. I think mostly because it took, I don't know, it was like what, 3 years? 3 years he was here, and I feel like it just took a long time for them to move away from and move on. I guess. I don't know if that was just because there really was nobody else on the roster that would have been any better, or whether they just really thought that David was going to turn some corner and get better. But I feel like they stuck with him way longer than they really should have.
Well, Al Woods played 8 years in the NFL, so I feel like the Saints, the mistake of drafting him might have not been as bad as the mistake of cutting him. And I know that fans view Jason David as he was terrible, and he was. But is it worse? What was your thing you said last week, Dave? Is it worse that you were so terrible when you played, or was it worse that you were so terrible you never even got on the field? I feel like Al Woods is worse because they cut a guy.
God damn it, Ralph.
They cut a guy who almost played a decade in the NFL. And he was a fourth round pick. Like, that's a horrible, horrible mistake that was compounded on a bunch of levels. And I like Jason David because he always stood up and took the shots after the game when he was fucking terrible and got roasted like a chicken. So I'm voting Al Woods. Kevin, who you got?
Jason David. This is not.
It's not rocket surgery.
There is no need for Final Jeopardy music. This is literally like Family Feud, you know, like immediately buzzing in before the fucking question's even asked.
Well, you know what? I don't even care what you guys say because I'm an LSU homer. And
Get the hell out of here.
Al Woods getting cut ruined LSU players for Sean Payton until Will Clapp this past year. So
it's true.
Sean Payton would not draft an LSU guy, refused to even look at those players after his Al Woods experience. So as an LSU fan, that situation makes me angry. So I'm voting Al Woods. We have a tie.
Somebody in the chat room, please bring some sanity here.
Yeah, I can't believe we're leaving.
So chat room, Jason David or Al Woods, next one to type
we're
it
leaving this up to other
breaks
people.
The tie.
Terrible.
This is like
we're still waiting. What's somebody, Jason David or Al Woods, break the tie. If Al Woods advances, I'm gonna be so happy. This would be hilarious.
Get the hell out of here. All right, what's the next? What's the last?
I do have some good material for Jason David if he moves on.
The last one in the first round. All right,
Andrew Alvarez says Jason David, not even close.
Right. Yes, thank you.
Last one. Dave, you can start this one, or Kevin, you can start this one. Number 11, Stanley Jean-Baptiste versus number 22, Alinda Mare. This one's tough.
Ooh.
Now, they gave up a pick for Mare. Well, your
they did.
Most hated thing, Kevin, besides Adrian Peterson.
Huh. Man, that's a tough one because that was in the year they got – it was – They drafted the pirate and they drafted the other linebacker from Wake Forest, right?
No, you're getting your bad. You're getting Stanley Arno and Chip Vaughn. You're confusing.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, sorry.
You're merging all the bad Saints draft picks.
That was last week. We talked about those guys last week.
Oh man. Well, screw it. I'm gonna go Alindo Mario then.
Yeah, Alindo Mare was weird because he was terrible. The Saints stuck with him. He got good and by the end of the year was okay and was kind of the kicker they thought he would be, but got hurt, I think, and then they wanted him to take a pay cut and he wouldn't, so they got rid of him and the kicker carousel continued. But Olindomare, it's hard, Andrew, because Olindomare actually cost them games. Stanley yeah. Jean-Baptiste cost them games because they were desperate for a warm body at corner, and he couldn't even pull that off in 2014. This one's hard, man. I'm going to go Mare just because I never saw Stanley Jean-Baptiste really be bad in a Saints uniform. I saw Mare miss kicks and cost the Saints games.
So it's 2-0?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way I'm allowing a clean sweep here. Stanley Jean-Baptiste is one of the worst Saints picks. I mean, he was just terrible. He was so bad. The Saints picked up, what was it, Terrence Frederick or Travis Frederick? I don't even know his name. That's how bad he was.
And he was starting against
up
the
off
Bears.
The street. They picked him up off the street, and he was playing ahead of Stanley Jean-Baptiste. Baptiste was so bad that some dude they picked up off the street was then immediately playing ahead of a guy who was in training camp, was in preseason, all that stuff. So he was awful, man. Stanley Jean-Baptiste is my pick.
Dave?
I'm definitely going with Olindomare. Ralph, I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, Stanley Jean-Baptiste, he was just another shitty draft pick that never amounted to anything. Olindomare fucked some shit up. He fucked some shit up big time. I'm going with Mare.
Let me ask you this. If Baptiste was a first round pick, would it have changed your mind at all?
Well, if he was a first round pick?
Yeah, instead of a second round.
It bumps him up a little bit, but
they'd have had to have played him then. If he would have been a first round pick, they'd have had to play him, right? They would have had to, right? They couldn't have not played a first round. If he would have been a first round pick, he'd have gotten on the field at some point, right?
I can't. And somehow he's still in the league, right?
He's still getting checks, man. He's still getting checks because he's got the prototype size and speed you want at corner. He's still getting checks.
Unbelievable.
So that's it. That's the first round. And we've gone really long tonight. But Andrew, I just want to, before we get the second round game, this is just a couple of the matchups we'll have in the second round next week. The Greenbrier versus the Kevin Hauser pyramid scheme. Ducks in a Row versus Nick Fairley's contract extension. Brandon Browner versus allowing Mike Cirillo in the building. And Jairus Verd, Olin Cruz. I mean, the second round matchups are amazing in this tournament. And we'll have it for you next week. This tournament, I hope people are having fun with it with Facebook comments.
No, next week we're probably going to need to talk about draft picks, right?
Yeah, the one draft pick they do when they trade everything to move up. So before we get out of here, I want to tell you about MyBookie. They are the number one site for online gambling. They're hooking our listeners up all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you'll now get an extra 50 to play. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wager, there's something for everyone with the best player perks in the sports book business. They've been good to us. I know they'll be good to you. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You pay, you win, you get paid. Terms and restrictions apply. Kevin, it was so nice to have you back tonight. It's just amazing when you you return. You're like the prodigal son.
It's a real joy.
Glad I could be here.
Kevin, you really need to help us finish this tournament, so I expect you to return.
Yeah. So, That's it. We will have a special live draft day live stream. We'll figure something out. We just don't know exactly what the Saints will be doing. So we'll figure that out. Become a patron member, and that way you can get alerts better, and you'll know what we're doing later in the week. I can send you custom alerts, and you can know when we're doing live stream, when shows do it. Go to Patreon, be a subscriber by May 1st. You get a free beer koozie. It's awesome. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.